grew up in Sunday school, I memorized the golden rule and how Jesus came to set the sinner free.
I know the story inside out, and I can tell you all about the path that led him up to Calvary.
Ask me why he loves me, and I don't know what to say. But I'll never be the same, because he changed my life when he became
everything to me. He's more than a story, more than words on a page of history.
Certain times, and more I find that I'm aware of just how fragile life can be.
I want to tell the world I found a love that turned my life around. They need to know that they can taste and see.
Now every day I'm praying just to give my heart away. I want to live for Jesus so that someone else can see that he is
everything to me. He's more than a story, more than words on a page of history.
Certainly have enjoyed all the singing today, the specials as well as the congregationals. Well, I'm going to bring a few truths to you from this passage of Scripture. I don't know how much you know about the character of Joseph, but he certainly is a wonderful study in the Word of God to find out about this man and the path that he took. And so I certainly will not get a whole lot about his life and the time allotted here this morning, but I do want to give you some things that I hope would encourage you and enlighten you on some things as far as just, well, understanding that God works all things together for the good. Now, I didn't say that God does all things good for us. Sometimes God will allow you to go through some things that are not so good. And sometimes God will take those things that are not so good, and he will work with the good so that it would be for good. And we're going to see that right here in this young man. You know, this young man had a start in his life, and it wasn't very good. His father pampered him. As a matter of fact, there's a statement that's made about Joseph that's very concerning. If you'll look back in Genesis 37 just for a moment, you'll find where the Bible says in chapter 37 of the book of Genesis, it says this about Joseph in verse number 3. It says, now Israel, and that's of course his dad, Jacob. Now Israel, chapter 37, verse 3, loved Joseph more than all of his children. And even told why. Now, I know we have several parents in our congregation today, and that's a dangerous thing to let it be seen that you're showing great favoritism to one of your children. And yet it happens often in our society. Here's an account in the scripture of where it was happening, even to the place to where the Bible says that because of it, in verse number 4, when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all of his brethren, they hated him. So if you've ever wondered why his brethren did what they did to him, and if you'll read the remainder, don't do it while I'm preaching today, but if you'll read the remainder of chapter 37, you'll find where his brothers took him and cast him into a pit, would have killed him. But of course, God had a plan for him, as God has a plan for every life that's represented here today. But they sold him instead. They sold him into a caravan of Ishmaelites that were traveling by, as God would have it. Now, why did this happen? Why did this happen? Have you ever wondered why bad things happen to good people? Have you ever wondered why maybe some things in your life didn't turn out the way perhaps that you had dreamt that they would turn out? Have you ever wondered why you go through hardships or have hard places in life? You see, God uses these situations in each of our lives. Now, I'm not saying that everything bad that happens in my life or your life is God dictating those things to make us stronger. But I will tell you this, our struggles make us stronger. And God can take these things, these struggles of life, these hardships of life, and He can make us stronger for the purpose that He has for our life. Now, sometimes the hard things happen in our lives because we're just hard-headed. Somebody say amen with me now. We're just hard-headed, and we're not going to have it any other way. We're going to do it our way. It doesn't matter what God says. It doesn't matter what our parents say. It doesn't matter what our preacher or our teacher. It doesn't matter what the people that God has placed in our life as our advisors say. We just get down in our heart, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. It doesn't matter what the voices that God has placed around me says. I'm going to do this. And God says, well, then you're going to have to pay a price for it. Because there's consequences for choices that we make. And every decision that we make has a result and a consequence attached to it. So please don't take from this morning's message as I get a little further into it that, well, you know, if I'm going through a hard place, it's because God is leading me through that to make me stronger. It may mean that you just went running headlong and jumped into trouble. Amen. Because you were disobedient to the voice that God had for you. You brought it on yourself. Now, I'm not saying that God couldn't even still use that in our lives. Because God can take chaos and bring order out of it. And only God can do that. And I bless His holy name for it. Because more times than I'd like to admit to you this morning, I have done just what I described to you and went running headlong and done something that I knew God didn't want me to do. But I'm glad that God showed favor to me and was merciful to me and continued to love me and minister to me through those times. But now here's a young man that had he stayed in the house that he was and in the surroundings that he was, may have grown up to be just some snowflake, as we would call it in today's society. Some person that you couldn't tell anything, that, you know, that didn't want to work. Now, why do you say that, preacher? Because God gave Joseph a word, and the word that He gave him in dream was, you know what? People's going to fall down and give you obeisance one day. You're going to be a ruler one day. And Joseph probably took that and thought, well, you know what? With the surroundings that I have and with the dream that I've had, he went around almost bragging to his brethren, hey, guess what? Y'all gonna fall down to me one day. And that's not all. So is mom and dad. Well, that's kind of a bad attitude. It is. It's not a good way to look at life. And so what God does here is God allows this bad situation to help Joseph learn, before you can reign, you've got to learn how to serve. And it's a great lesson in life, not just for those that are graduating high school or college, but it's a great lesson in life for every person that's here today and even those that are not. It's a great lesson to learn that before you can reign, you've got to train. Now listen to me. I think sometimes people think, you know what, I'm going to start out at top. I'm going to be the foreman. I'm going to be the preacher. I'm going to be the supervisor. I'm going to be the number one man. When God says, no, you need to start on the bottom rung of the ladder and learn what obedience is, humility is, hard work is. I don't like that hard work part, preacher. Well, you better get used to it now, because that's what life is. It's hard work. So I kind of want to float through life. Well, you better get your paddle out. You're going to have to do some paddling in this life. Amen. Now you listen to me. Anybody tells you that life is all downstream and all you got to do is get in the current, they're lying to you. And so I want to take some life lessons from this young man in this chapter, and I want to share them with you. And I want you to listen very carefully. I believe it could help change somebody's life this morning. I really believe that, or I wouldn't stand and preach it. I just believe God's word changes lives if we would just allow it to. And this is just not for those that are graduating high school or college. This is just not for those 25 and below. This is for all of us. This is for your preacher. This is for you. This is for us, brethren. We're God's people. And God gave Joseph a promise, and Joseph latched onto that promise, and he wouldn't let it go. Regardless of what life dealt to him, he would not let that promise go. Now, God's given you some promises too. And God's given me some promises too. I wonder if we're latching on to them. Even when things don't look so good, even when we're being sold into slavery, even when we're being falsely accused and thrown into prison, even when it looks like our dream is not going to come true, I wonder how many of us would latch hold of what God has given us as a promise and saying, God said it. I believe what God said. I'm not going to look at my circumstances in life and give up and quit because it's not looking favorable for me. But you know, there's a part of all of us, if we're not careful, we could do that. There truly is. I'd like for you to hold your hand here and turn back, if you would, to Acts chapter 7. I want to share something with you that just, I mean, it just really blessed my heart. Acts chapter 7, now we're going to come back here. But in Acts chapter 7, it's like God said, I want to give you a little summary. I want to make a statement that sums up Joseph's life. I wonder if God made a little 3 or 4 word statement that summed up your life, what it would be. I wonder if God made a little summary, a 3 or 4 word statement that summed up my life, was a summary of my life, what it would be. You know, I think only, I could hope that it would be only what it was for Joseph. And I think when you see what I'm going to read to you, you would say the same. I sure hope it wouldn't be, well, he's about half and half. He's about half on and half off. He's neither hot nor cold. He's lukewarm, or he's all in or all out. There's not much to him. There's no consistency. There's no direction. There's no vision. There's no passion. I would sure hope that would not be the summary of my life before God. I want you to notice in Acts chapter 7 with me, notice what God's summary of this man Joseph. Look in verse number 9 of Acts chapter 7. It says, and the patriarchs moved with envy, so Joseph into Egypt. Now here's the summary. Don't miss this. But God was with him. That's all I need to know, brethren. That's all I need to know. Because if God be with you, who can be against you? If God be for you, listen to me now. If I didn't have any other promise that I needed, if I didn't have any other thing that God needed to say to me about my life and what it's going to transpire to be, I need to know that right there. I need to know that God is with me. God is with me. I was sharing with our pastors yesterday as we go back to Genesis chapter 39, how that I recall as a young preacher, I can recall that those old preachers of the faith that God put me at the feet of, and I am forever grateful for that. I can remember as they would pray, and their prayer would be, God, don't leave us unto ourselves. God, don't leave us unto ourselves. You know, a lot of times if we're not careful, we can kind of become a professional Christian. We can learn the lingo, and we can learn how to dress and how to talk and what to do and what to say and how to do it. And we think, well, you know what? I've got this down now. And it really doesn't matter if I pray and I commune with God every day, or I read in His book, or I attend preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival service. That doesn't matter. I've kind of got this thing down and I know what to do. Brethren, I don't ever want to get to that place. God, please show me favor. Don't ever let me get to that place in my life. Now, if I'm not careful, I could. And if you're not careful, you could. We can all get to the place where we think, we know, God, I've got this, until a crisis comes. But let's watch what happens to this young man's life. Now, here's a young man that repeatedly found himself pulling himself up off the ground. Repeatedly. Found his dreams crushed, his ambitions smashed, but he continued to do the right thing nonetheless. That's what we need, brethren. God's looking for a man. God's looking for a lady. God's looking for a young person this morning that says, you know what? I'm going to do right no matter if the outcome's right or not. I'm not doing right just so that things will turn out right. Now, I'm not saying that that shouldn't be a motivating factor, but that should not be the primary reason that you or I do right. We should do right because it's right to do right. Somebody say amen with me. Listen, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, do right, though the stars fall, do right. Just do right. Do right. You say, well, you know, preacher, nobody's watching. Do right anyhow. Amen. Nobody cares, preacher. Do right anyhow. Do right. Well, everybody's doing wrong. Well, you do right. It's the right thing to do. Amen. Do right. Now, here's a young man. I want to show you something. Are you back in chapter 39? I want you to write this or highlight this in your Bible, and then I'll give you a few points, and I'll be through today. All right, notice if you would in verse number 2. Genesis 39, verse number 2, and the Lord was with Joseph. See, that's the summary of this man's life. Genesis 39, verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph. Look at verse number 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. Look, if you would, in verse number 21 of that chapter. But the Lord was with Joseph. Look at verse number 23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. I tell you, if there's one thing that God wants me to know about his relationship with Joseph, is that he was with him. And if there's one thing that God wants me to take comfort in, and one thing that God wants you as his child to take comfort in this morning, is he's with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. God's with you now. You say, preacher, sometimes I can't feel him. That doesn't mean he's not with you. Preacher, sometimes I can't see God in my circumstance. I can't see God in my crisis. I can't see God in the situation that I'm in life. That doesn't mean God's not with you. You know, young person, if you could latch onto something this morning and take it all the days of your life, it would help you in every place that God puts you in life, and that is that the Lord is with you. God's never going to leave you. God's not going to leave you to yourself. Listen, God's not going to turn away from you. And Joseph went through a lot of ups and downs. Let's look at three areas right here in this chapter. Write them down, okay? Number one, the Lord was with him in his vocation. Now, some of these graduates and some other young people won't be long now. You'll be going out and you'll be tracking a career, and you'll be taking up a vocation in your life. And I think that's a good thing. I think work is a good thing. I know work is of God. God has ordained work. God has made it so that we could work in order to provide, so that we could work in order to have fulfillment in our lives. Work is just good. Don't you believe someone when they tell you that work is bad. Now, work can be hard, but work is good. And so don't you believe anyone that tries to get you to cut out on work and duck and dodge and hide from work and do it halfway. Don't you believe that now. Don't you buy into that. That's not so. See, God has ordained work. Preacher, work's part of the curse. Well, no, you've read the scripture wrong. You've read the scripture wrong. Toil, labor, sweat of the brow. Work was in force before the fall. God had placed Adam in the garden and said, I need you to dress it and I need you to keep that garden. That's work. Any of you ever done any farming, any gardening work, you can say amen with me. That's some work. Work's not a bad thing. Work's a good thing. So young folks, listen to me. And some of you a little older, we need to get this in our minds once again. Work is good. Say it with me. Work is good. It's good. Joseph was sold. Yeah, his dad was going to pamper him. But God said, no, we gotta strengthen you up there, young man, because I got a special plan for your life. I want you to be the second in command of the most mighty, powerful nation on the earth in that day. But now you're not going to get there as a snowflake. You're not. You're going to have to tough it up. You got to learn what it is to obey orders. Are you listening? Got to learn what it is to be a servant. It's important. So I want to be a leader. I want to be the leader, preacher. Well, then learn to be a servant. That's right. Look here what it says. Verse number one. Joseph brought, did you write that down now? Vocation. Look at this. Joseph was bought down in Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh. That's kind of like the head man in the Egyptian FBI, okay? I'm bringing it up to today's vernacular. So here's the Secret Service. Here's the Pharaoh's guard. And here's Potiphar, his right-hand man, the head man of the FBI, the Secret Service, the officer of the captain of the guard. You see that in verse number one? He was an Egyptian, and he bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. All this in God's plan now. Here's Joseph thinking, I'm going to reign and I'm going to be on top and I'm going to just skate my way to the top. And God said, no, we got to strengthen you. Going to have to bring some things in your life, some struggle that's going to strengthen you. I read about a botanist that was observing a moth in a cocoon. And that moth began to break out of that cocoon, but the strands on that cocoon was strong and it was taking too long. So the botanist reached over and grabbed some clippers and clipped those strands, and the moth came tumbling out, couldn't fly. You know why? Because God has ordained it in that process that when that moth kept pushing against and pushing out, it would strengthen the wings of that moth so that when it finally did break out of that cocoon, it had strength enough to where it could fly. Can I tell you, God will put you in situations and God will put me in situations that will strengthen me to get to where God has for me. And we have to understand these things. And so here was Joseph, and he was dreaming and he was thinking, and nothing wrong with that, nothing wrong with dreams, nothing wrong with ambition, nothing wrong with listening to what God said, but you've got to follow along with what God does. And so he's here and he's sold, and the Bible says in verse number 2 that Joseph, watch this now, it says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Now what do you think that means? What has Joseph done? Besides telling everybody about his dreams. What has Joseph done that they would see that he was a prosperous man? It was all up here. What do you mean, preacher? Joseph wasn't. They sold me into slavery. It just ain't right, I say it. It just ain't right. Get anywhere in life with that attitude. Never. It's my brother's fault. It's my father's fault. It's my mother's fault. If only she would have been around and not died when she gave birth to Benjamin. If only mom would have been here. If only God wouldn't have taken my mom. If only God wouldn't have done this. If only this wouldn't have happened and that wouldn't have happened. Hey, you've got to overcome that. You've got to understand that the things that take place in our life are meant to strengthen us, and we can build on those things. We become stronger. It prepares us for the trials. It prepares us for this real thing that we're in called life. And the Bible says in verse number 2 that he was a prosperous man. What does that mean? What has Joseph done? It's speaking of his attitude. Now listen to me. Your outlook on life will have a lot to do with your outcome on life. Now listen. This is not some kind of mind. I'm not giving you some kind of mumbo jumbo philosophy and psychology. I'm telling you what this book teaches. You got to have a right spirit. You know what the Bible says about Daniel? He had an excellent spirit. Got to have a right spirit. Yes, some bad things are going to happen to you. And yes, there are going to be some unfair things happen. Right, brethren? There's going to be some injustices happen. That's part of life. Everything's not fair. Everything's not fair. Somehow we've gotten our minds that, well, you know what? I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I'm serving God. Everything ought to just work out. Everything ought to be fair. That's not going to happen that way. Joseph had the right attitude. And so instead of slouching and pouting and blaming other people, he stood erect. He took his medicine. Listen to me now. He took his medicine, and God began to go to work in his life. And the Bible says that the Lord was with him. When you realize God is with you, you'll stand a little more taller. See, a lot of reasons, a lot of people walking around like this, they don't realize who's walking with them. Hey, if you're saved in the grace of God this morning, I'm going to tell you, God's in you. God's not only with you, he's in you. Listen to me now. There's a divine nature in you. God himself, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You ought to walk a little taller. You ought to stand a little more erect. You ought to smile. Listen, you say, well, preacher, sometimes when bad things happen, what am I supposed to do then? You're supposed to say, you know what? God's going to turn this trial into a blessing. Somehow, I don't know how, but God's going to work this thing out. See, that was his attitude. Now watch what happens in verse number 2. He was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now, first of all, he was in the house. Don't miss this now. He's just in the house. Now, look what the next verse says. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. I wonder when people look at me and when people look at you, if they say, you know what? The Lord's with that man. The Lord's with that gal right there. The Lord's with that lady. Hey, folks. Everybody on the job ought to know the Lord's with you. Your neighbors ought to know the Lord's with you. Your foreman ought to know the Lord's with him. It ought to mean something to you. I can't tell you testimony after testimony that I've heard from this church family over the years, how that they say, you know what, we had a little gathering at the plant, or we had a little gathering at the office, and they called on me to pray. You know why? They knew the Lord was with you. That's why. Well, I tell you, I can walk up to a conversation preacher at the workplace, and it gets quiet. I know what was happening. They was even talking about me or talking about things that they knew I wouldn't appreciate and get engaged in. You know why? Because they knew the Lord was with you. That's why. See, this man, the Lord was with Joseph in verse number 2, but notice verse number 3, it changes. Someone else saw that the Lord was with him. Now, it's one thing for me to recognize the Lord is with me. It's one thing for you to recognize the Lord is with you. But I'm going to tell you when business picks up, when others begin to see that the Lord's with you. Look at verse 3 again now. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. Amen. Now what's going to happen? Look at this. And that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. His master got to watching him. So I tell you right now, something different about that guy. There's something different about that servant. You say, was he a servant? Oh, yes. Look at verse number 4. And Joseph found grace in his sight. Look at this next phrase. And served him. You say, well, now, preacher, I want to go straight to the top. I want to enter in. CEO. I want to be the lead man. Yeah, it's not going to happen that way. Very rarely, if ever. See, God has a system. A promotion system. You want to be master? Got to be a servant. Amen? That's what this book teaches. You'll be a leader, you got to learn to be a good follower. And so here it is. Joseph had these dreams and ambitions, and many of you have dreams and ambitions, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if God puts you in a place of servitude, if God puts you in a servant's place, don't you feel that you've been cheated now? God's just preparing you for your place of leadership. As I said, you want to reign, you got to train. Training time before raining time. I think we've just tried to take one big leap and get to the raining part. That's the way society has become. And so to understand that there's rungs on the ladder that we must climb, and that God will be our helper to get us to the place that he's called us to be. Well, let's go and look at this in verse number 4. The Bible says that he served him. Watch what happened. As a result of him serving him, he made him overseer over his house. So now, he's gone from being in the house, he's over the house. What happened, preacher? He had a right spirit. He didn't jerk around, show up late, do half jobs. Somebody say amen with me now. I tell you, sometimes folks think, well, I'm a Christian, I don't have to work half as hard. You ought to work twice as hard. I'm going in tomorrow, I'm asking for more money. You ought to ask for more responsibility. Amen. We're teaching our young people, it's all about money. I understand about money. I understand God's use of money. I want to share one quick personal story. I don't want to make this about me. I was taught by a good godly man, don't ever go in and ask for more money. Ask for more duty, and it'll lead to more money. So I'm working for a fellow, many of you know him, and if for some reason, I hope he's watching today. His name's Dale Dudley. He actually treated me good. He was a lost man, and I pray for him to be saved. And I said, Dale, I'd like to talk to you. And he said, well, meet me at such and such place, such and such time. And we did. And we sit down, and I know he was thinking, he's going to ask me for more money. I could tell just by the way he immediately started talking about bottom line and, you know, profit margins. And, hey, I've been there. I know what's going on. I said, I'd like to talk to you. He said, okay. And I said, I would like to know what else I could do. I'd like for you to give me some more responsibilities. I've learned the spraying of the lawns, and I'd like to just broaden and widen my need here at the company. And I'm going to tell you right now, this guy was looking at me like, what? Like what? Am I hearing this right? Now, this is not about me. Somebody trained me this way. I thank God for that training. I didn't have to ask that man for no money. I got a $5 raise within 2 weeks. You say, oh, you just bragging. I am. On God. Because when you do it right, God honors it. You can't make it about money. Everything can't be made about money. We have to understand that there's some things that are more important than money. Testimony. Amen. Responsibility. It's important. You teach your children, well, just get the highest paying job you can get. Hey, listen, there's nothing wrong with making a lot of money. I hope all of you make a lot of money. Make sure you pay your tithe. Amen. But it's not all about that. Joseph understood this. Joseph's not slinging around and jerking around. Well, I can't believe this. I have you to know my father's Jacob. My father is Israel. My brothers are patriarchs. I have you to know I'm out of place here. I deserve better than this. Where's justice? My goodness. No, God began to work in his heart. And the Bible says here that he served him in verse number 4, and then he made him overseer of all of his house and all that he had put into his hand. He just kept giving him more responsibility. He kept giving him more and more to be responsible and accountable for. Now we got a man that's positioning himself to be a leader. Because we've got a man who's tasked, who's held accountable, who has responsibility. His trust, his honesty is going to be tested. God is positioning this man for promotion. The Bible goes on to say in verse number 5 that it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, and that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Well, if we could teach our young people this lesson right here, make a difference in the workplaces around here and the establishments around here and the churches around here. It's not about a title or a position. It's about honor. It's about honesty. It's about integrity and responsibility, hard work, loyalty, respect. These are things that are missing. And now folks, they go and they take a couple of training courses and they say, well, I'm here to apply for your job. Nothing wrong with confidence and ambition, but learn to work for it. Now, let me give you a couple more things. So God blessed him in his vocation. He was with him. Now, I'm not going to spend as much time. I just want to show these to you. Our time is up. Look, if you would, in verse number 6. The latter part of that says that Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. And so the devil said, well, we're going to leave this fellow alone. He seems to be doing good. Nah, we don't have a chance with him, so we're just going to leave him alone. You don't believe that, do you? Not for a moment. You see, it's when you get here. The old-timers used to say, new levels, new devils. So now Joseph has positioned himself to where the devil, he's become the target. My, what a target he became. You know this account, right? So here he is in the master's house, and the master's wife fixes her eyes on him. Now, Egypt in this day was a lot like America in our day. Well, I tell you, it's something to watch how our young women today have such loose morals. I pray to God that no young ladies in our congregation today would have such loose morals. They would be involved in blatant immorality. You ought to have some character, some chastity about you, some purity. Parents, don't be afraid to teach your children abstinence. Say amen with me now. I didn't say teach your daughters, I said teach your children. We've got a huge double standard in our day today. We want our daughters to be virgins and be pure, and we think that young men ought to go out and get notches in their belt. They ought to have a knot jerked in their rear end. Yeah, but preacher, I wouldn't have said that. I know, that's why God has me up here and not you. This is real, brethren. Here's a young man, and God expected him to be pure. See, it would have been very easy if you read this for Joseph, say, well, you know, I'm far away from home. Who'll know? Who'll know? God will know. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God knows. But I want you to notice what Joseph said here, and then we'll move on, okay? She came to him. She cast her eyes upon him, verse 7, and she just came right out and said, go to bed with me. Well, I tell you, that is just trashy as they come. Amen. Young men, you stay away from women like this. Right. You stay away from that. Amen. Oh, a preacher, you know, I'm young, and a lot of things going on inside of me. Yeah, well, that's all right. You subdue them until the right time. God's right. Got something special and someone special for you. Amen. Learn what it is to have a little character and a little self-control. The Bible says here, he refused and said in verse number 8 unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. And you read this and he basically says, listen, this man is my foreman. This man is my master. I can't do him that way. And I don't want to do you that way. You're his wife. You're his wife, for heaven's sake. But he said, most of all, in verse number 9, the latter part, I don't want to do this wickedness and sin against God. You see the character? You see what Joseph is doing here? Why, preacher, why? Because the Lord was with him. I'm going to tell you something, brother. When temptation and opportunity come together like this, the Lord better be with you. Amen. That's right. Now, it's easier for me to stand up here not in temptation and not have opportunity and tell you what to do and what not to do according to that book. But each one of us know that the tempter is coming after us. Why? Because we want to do what's right. I don't think you'd be here today if you didn't at least have some kind of degree of wanting to do what's right. And when you decide and you purpose in your heart, I want to do right, the tempter's coming. The enemy's coming. Young folks, listen to me. When you leave a church service, when you leave a Bible study with your parents or with your youth group, and you say, by the grace of God, I want to live for Jesus, I want to do what's right, the devil's coming after you. Oh, preacher, that scares me. Don't let it scare you, because greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. You can be a conqueror, more than a conqueror, through Jesus Christ. Got to stay prayed up. I'm afraid some of us run to the prayer closet when the crisis is on us. You ought to pray whether you're in a crisis or not. You ought to fellowship with God whether there's hard times or not. And I think this tells us a lot about the character of Joseph. So he was not only with him in his vocation, we're going to call this, he was with him in his temptation. Did you write that down? You say, well, preacher, I get the vocation part, but temptation, listen, you're going to be tempted. It may not be the way Joseph was tempted. You may be tempted to steal from your employer. Oh, preacher, I'd never. Why? Listen, I didn't say you'd do it. I said you may be tempted to do it. You may be tempted to be dishonest in a business deal. See, the devil's going to tempt us. He's going to try to create character flaws and cause us to lose our testimony so that when people look at us, they won't see, as Joseph's master saw, the Lord is with him. Right? Then finally, our time is up. Look at this last one. And there's much that could be said here. So you know what happens? I wish I had more time on this. I do. But you ought to study this out. Have you ever wondered why when Potiphar threw Joseph in the jail? I mean, he comes home. You know the story. He lost another garment. Joseph keeps losing his coat. Somebody say amen. I mean, he lost his coat of many colors. His brethren stripped him of it. And now he loses his garment. Right? I like what one guy said. He said, well, it's better to lose your coat and lose your character. I like that. Joseph fled from that. Listen, he got away from her. There's just some things you ought to run from. Let me just change that. There's just some people you ought to run from. Some of you right now, there's some people in your life you need to run from them. I didn't say walk away from them. I said run from them. You get away from them as fast as you can because they are toxic for you. And they're going to get you in a way that you're going to regret you were ever in if you continue to follow that way. So he ran right out of his garment here. But Pharaoh put him in prison. Now, I think I'm talking with some good minds here today. If you were in a position of leadership like this man, powerful man, captain of the Pharaoh's guard, and a man that messed with your wife, you're going to put him down there where the butler and the baker are? I don't think so. Not knowing men the way I know men. I think Pharaoh or Potiphar, I think he might have had a couple of things here. I think he probably thought, I don't know about my wife. I think the word was out on Miss Potiphar. By the way, the word gets out on Miss Potiphar real quick. And that's a whole nother message. But the word gets out real quick about the Miss Potiphars of the world. But I think more than that, I think Pharaoh or Potiphar saw something in Joseph that he couldn't get away from. Man, this guy's real. And knowing what I know about my wife and what I know about this man, I find it hard to do to really exact the full penalty of the law here. I'm going to need some time to think this through. I'm not saying, listen, just think about it. Something happened here. I can tell you that. Now, I know God was involved. Listen, God's in control. God's sovereign. I just feel that Potiphar, deep down in his heart of hearts, knew, nah, Joseph didn't do that. I know all the evidence points to that. Sometimes you're going to be put in a situation now. You want to be a leader? Sometimes you're going to be put in a situation like this. All the evidence points one way. But you have a gut. It's what we call it. And sometimes, most of the time, I'm finding it's just good to go with that intuitiveness that God has placed in you, just like this man did. He didn't exact the full penalty of the law and execute him. Finally, he gets put in prison. And the Bible says that in verse number 20, Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, the place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. What about that? And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Man, this guy Joseph, he just keeps on rising to the top. As I close the message today, I want to encourage you, no matter what life throws at you, just rise to the top. Remember, God is with you. God's not going to leave you. He's not. You'll never convince me that Joseph wasn't going back to that day when God showed him, you're going to reign one day. He kept the dream alive. He did. Satan wants to crush your dream, folks. Doesn't matter whether you're graduating high school or you're getting ready to have your fifth child or you're getting ready to have your 28th grandchild. Satan wants to crush your dreams. He does. But God wants you to keep that hope alive that He's with you. And He still has a purpose and a plan for your life. Now, I don't know that what there might be someone here as we stand to our feet today. You know the story how this ends. Joseph went from being over the Potiphar's house to being under the prison to being second man in the land. Why? Because the Lord was with him. That's why. And he kept rising to the top. He kept doing what was right. He wasn't one of these fellows running around screaming injustice and it's unfair. He took what came his way. He applied God to the equation. And he rose to the top. I guess you could say that he just done what he should do when God put him where he was, so that God would put him where he wanted him to be. Where's God got you this morning? So it's not where I want to be, preacher. Well, it may be this process. I don't know. But I do know this. If you're saved, the Lord's with you. And God knows how to take these things in life and work them all together for the good. And as Joseph said in his latter day, ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God meant it for good. Would you bow your head with me? As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I do think about our graduates today.